WGBB or its employees. You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Don't change that dial. We got a great show lined up for you today. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for...
Écoute, Jesus, c'est ici. Amen. Hey.
Dei impui letificat, juventutem mea. You va tu testios.
Jem fatigue. English. English rot.
And this is, listen up, Jesus is on the air. And that was Dr. John Palmer.
He stepped on my line.
And I'm Dr. Anthony Chippo. We're here to tell you, we love Jesus.
Don't touch that dial. We're all here. Even Trevor's here.
Security.
Michael, stay. Don't leave. Please stay, Michael. Stay. So that was all. We got a great guest. We got a guest that I was dying to get here for. He was here about a year and a half ago. I'm dying to get him back. He's so busy, but we got him back.
Écoute.
Écoute, Baba.
You know what écoute means? It means shut up.
All right, introduce our guest. Paul.
No, you. I'm not going to know. I'm going on strike.
Oh, come on. Please. Come on. Do it.
Michael Zambrocki is a wonderful musician. He does such good work. He plays music everywhere. He works with John Michael Talbot, and he does so many other things that are just so special.
And besides that, he's just a great guy. He really is.
Well, that's kind of pushing.
I'll pay you for that. How much? That's like $20.
Wait a minute. He saw me this morning coming into the studio. He ran right over to me. He recognized me from my back. He hugged me. He's a great guy. I love him.
No, he was really thinking about running over you.
Actually, I was going to mug him. And then
Michael, welcome.
I thought this was Breakfast with the Beatles. I'm on the wrong show. I thought.
Michael, thank you so much for coming.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be anywhere now.
And
I think.
I don't tell this to too many people. But it's an honor and pleasure to have you here.
He says that to everybody.
I've heard it. But it's okay. It's okay. I forgive you. We have to forgive you. We're Catholics. We're Christians.
I want to tell you why I began in French, right?
Was that French?
Was French. That was Latin. French. Come on.
I took 4 years of French.
French. No, and the reason why I began is because I was listening to Greek music, and I know we're followed by a Spanish show. So I figured let's do a language
and
show.
And you may not know, but I threw a little Latin in there.
Oh, I thought that was Italian.
Just to be a little classy, I threw a little Latin in there.
Okay. I don't know.
I took 4 years of Latin. I took year one, and I failed it. Year two, and I failed it. And year three, 4 years of Latin.
Yeah, I did that with French.
All when I was in high school, all the boys took Spanish. But all the girls took French. Yes. So I took French.
I took French too. You know what? I took French too.
I could make crepes. That's about it. I learned nothing, but I had a ball.
Love crepes.
Michael, the show is really focusing on how does God talk to everybody through music? And you're just the right person to come in and tell us about how you got into Christian music and tell us about some of the things that you're doing. It'd be just wonderful.
This guy is so busy. He makes me look like a little boy. That's how busy this guy is. He's unbelievable.
That's really saying something. This man sleeps 3 hours a night.
I've learned to sleep faster.
Great, Mike.
I sleep very fast.
So tell us about yourself.
I only work a half hour, half a day. That's 12 hours I work straight, half a day. It's bad. Tell me, okay, so I'm involved in a few things, right? I am... director of music ministries at a very large parish in Queens, New York, one of these combined Catholic churches, Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary / St. Stanislaus, a church. So that's very busy. I do 5 or 6 masses a weekend, weddings. Actually, when I leave here, I'm doing, I still have a mass to do today and a wedding. So
really?
We have a lot today. So besides that, I also work with the number one Catholic recording artist in the world. His name is John Michael Talbot. And I would say, I'm the director of his operations. I handle his marketing and his I handle everything except his booking. We have, and I'll go on the road with him. I'll meet him on the road at times, but John and I have been very good friends. And a few years back, he asked me to take over a large part of his operation. And it's been an honor. You know, he is a man of God. He's his ministry has been used to reach music. You're talking about music.
He evangelizes through his music.
Right. And what's amazing about him is his music really, he's a bridge between Catholics and evangelicals, which is very powerful, you know, because many evangelicals are lapsed Catholics. You know, they may have left the Catholic Church for some reason. So his ministry often brings people back to the Catholic Church. But just with the original Jesus movement back in the 70s, you know, when it was really sweeping across the country, he was one of the first to start doing this on a large level and get recognized. And so much so that EMI, Billy Ray Hearn, the president of EMI, had to open up a Christian music branch. And that's what took off now.
Yeah.
CCM, Contemporary Christian Music Now, he's a major part of why that happened, why that existed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think everybody knows about him.
His song, Holy Is...
Holy is his name. Yeah. You know, I should have brought you a gift. I have a special gift for you guys. I'll bring it to you. I have his handwritten... him handwriting those lyrics for some special people. I didn't know you liked that song.
Oh, yeah.
And I give it to some people that are special. So I'll make sure you get that. You could, you know.
So are we special?
You are. You're special.
Oh, thank you. You're special.
You guys are doing great work here. You guys are, you know, you're dedicated people. That's like a lot of people out there that are doing wonderful work. And, you know, it's, you're doing this week by week by week. That's a commitment, you know. And you talk about how busy I am. I don't have a weekend. You know, the people don't understand this. You know, when you're in church and you have to rehearse, you have to work with choirs and cantors and yourself, your own time, and plus you compose and do other things.
Absolutely.
It's a lot.
They tell us we do this live and we're crazy. Nobody does radio live anymore. We do.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I wanted to warn you about me. Most radio stations do put up a 10-second delay before I speak. So they've heard bad things. I say things.
But you've also created your own music ministry.
Yeah.
You write your own songs.
Yeah, I've been composing for many years.
And he's a great singer, too.
I have. Thanks.
I enjoy Michael singing.
That's you know, as a matter of fact, I try to tell people, sometimes they like the way I play, but I'm a ham and egger. I make it up as I go. But I do it to accompany my voice. So it's you know, I've developed a certain style of playing, and it's more because I sing. I would consider my main instrument my voice.
Yes.
You know.
How did you get into Christian music? Let's start there.
Ooh. Like everybody else, I was weaned on Elvis and the Beatles, you know. There are Beatles people and there's Elvis people, you know, from certain generations. Yeah. But, I mean, I loved rock and roll as a kid, you know. As a matter of fact, what's really important, rock has to have one key element, okay, that people, once I say it, you'll go, oh, yeah. It has to include rebellion, okay. And what happens is, as you're growing up, we're all rebellious. We don't learn how smart our parents are until we're in our 20s or 30s, you know, and have kids of our own.
It's an avenue for rebellion.
It is. It really is. But I wasn't doing it for that reason. It just spoke to me. You know, I enjoyed it. And I didn't like some of the really heavy, heavy metal stuff. But I always respected it. It's funny. I would go out and play music by Zeppelin or Deep Purple, and I'd come home, and if I wanted to, and I'd put on the Carpenters. You know, and I would listen
to... What about Perry Como?
Perry Como, great guy, you know.
And Martin, Perry Como.
Yeah,
there,
you know, and if Al Barbarino's listening, we'll mention his name. No, but seriously, if we... I would listen to the Carpenters and respect the arrangements and the vocal parts and things like that, you know. Mm-hmm. And so different music would speak to me. And when I started to play, a natural thing happened. I played in the church. I was in a folk group. And so while I was playing rock, I'd be playing four nights a week in the city or dances or whatever, you know, whatever it was. And then I'd be playing, I'd be playing in church. And as I got older, you know, one thing got less and one thing got more. As much as I wanted to be Paul McCartney, I wasn't. And when you write a song, this is kind of weird. You don't know what you're going to write. I mean, you could sit down and try, but the best songs are inspired, you know. And if Jesus is the author of everything via the Holy Spirit, what would happen is when I'd sit down to write a song, I'd end up writing a Christian song. I didn't want to, but that's what would happen. And
that was God.
Right.
Was,
well, yeah. You know what? An apple tree makes apples. He can't make a pear. He can't do, even he may want to, But here's the funny thing about music. After you write the song, like an apple tree, if it makes an apple, that apple now is going to grow up and it's going to get picked. The tree doesn't can't tell the apple what it's going to do next. Is it going to be in a pie? Is it going to be eaten raw? Is it going to be made for sauce? Is it going to be made into juice? Something's going to happen, but just like your songs. You write these songs, but then you got to kind of step out of the way. You can't go into everybody's house and say, hey, everybody, be quiet, dig me, I'm going to play my CD now. I'm going to go to your stereo, I'm going to set the equalizer just right, I don't want anybody talking, I want you to sit right. No, it's going to be played in cars, on the radio, people are going to be listening to it out today on their iPods, iPads, and YouTube, and whatever. But it's then up to God, you know, to open your ears. Like Jesus healed Absolutely. People, and he exposes you to certain things that are going to... And music speaks to some people, and it doesn't speak to other people. And that's okay. We all have... He's going to use all of creation to reach everybody, to call everybody home.
And it's up to us to respond.
Right,
because, just like an apple, if it falls from the tree and it lays there, it's going to turn rotten.
Right.
And if we don't respond, and if we just lay there and do nothing...
Well, that's why if you're called to ministry, and that's a whole other story for music ministers out there. If any music ministers are out there listening, boy, do I have something to tell you.
Go ahead.
But, and I will.
They're all.
But if you're, you know, well, I'll say that. Let's just jump into that right now.
Sure.
This is number one. You talk about an apple falling off the tree and dying. Well, you know what? There is a scripture quote about unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it can't have become life again.
That counters my apple theory.
Right. That counters it.
Yes.
But that's because the minister has to write the song. But then it's, you know, sometimes we have to die to ourselves. And ego, our own egos get in the way. And I get, you know, thanks to John Michael. John, if you're listening, man, this is one of my biggest, you know, things that happen. I get calls from all over the world. And this happened before I worked for John, and I'm very available. If people, you could find my phone number, just go to johnmichaeltalbot.com. You could write to me at mike@johnmichaeltalbot.com. But let me tell you something. One of the number one things that people come to me about, it's people that say, Jesus told me to record an album. Jesus told me to write this song.
Yeah.
And I tell them, well, I've been doing this a long time. He never told me that, okay? And he, you know, but I tell them, look, we're supposed to test all spirits, okay?
Yes.
And Jesus, I tell them, Jesus doesn't need you to do that, okay? He doesn't need you to do anything. He doesn't need any of us. He wants us to work with him because he loves us so much. He wants us to be part of that active life.
Absolutely.
But he doesn't need us. And I say, okay, you think God is telling you this? Okay, I want to take you right now. Come on, Friday night, I'm going to find a local bar that's full of drunk and depressed people that hate their lives. Maybe it'll be during sports season, and there's going to be TVs on with some basketball or some show, you know, some game is on that everybody wants to watch. And I'm going to plant you in the middle of that. And I want you to play a song and take all those people on this trip that you're on. I want you to be able to take them and make them forget about all their problems, forget about all their hurts, and bring them with. If you could get out of there without getting your butt kicked, Jesus may have told you to record that album. People think, you know, it's just, I'm going to record. People don't understand how difficult life gets when you commit yourself to God.
You got to fasten your seatbelt.
People don't know you're going to get attacked. You're going to, and the commitment that you have to be ready for. People think John Michael Talbot, like, you know, or people at that level, Amy Grant, Stephen Curtis Chapman, and, you know, any Keith Green when he was alive, Rich Mullins, you know, God bless, rest his soul. Gregory Norbit, man, I'm going to get him on your show, I promise. Gregory's going to be on this show.
Okay.
I wish
Beautiful
I could call him
Western.
Right now. Right Hosea and all that.
And
these guys work hard.
And what about Michael John Talbot?
John Michael Talbot's easy. We'll get him on the show.
No
problem.
Michael,
I would have had him on today, but he's got his community, the Brothers and Sisters of Charity, and they're having their national gathering. They always do it around the Feast of St. Francis.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's happening in Arkansas, and there's a couple hundred people down there, and he's got to be with them. So,
Michael, if you're listening, it would be an honor and a pleasure to have you on our show.
You have a contact with him. It'll be easy. That'll be easy.
We love you.
But I'm serious. You know, you think God wants you to do something in ministry, and you're never going to know until you try. And then God will then anoint, if it's really supposed to happen, things will happen that'll bring attention to that way.
You told us about the song For This Moment.
Right.
Could you tell people how that came about?
You wanted to jump to that second song right away?
We'll go to the second song, For This Moment, Trev. Don't put it on yet. Just tell us how.
I'll try to make this really fast. I never really shared this on the radio before.
Go slow.
We got time?
Sure. All right. This is the first listeners.
Oh, okay. This is pretty interesting.
Because you were talking about how you get inspired.
Yeah, well, this is an interesting story. All right, I'm going to tell you the whole story. What happened was 9/11 happened, okay? We all know that. Tragic. And I was working in the city at the time, and I lost many, many friends. My office was I wasn't in the Trade Center. I was directly in the building next door. And my office was about 40 yards from where the first plane hit, I guess. I don't know. It was pretty close. And I was on a conference call that morning, and I actually heard it. And I heard screams and stuff and put on the TV. And I remember Matt Lauer and all this, you know, what happened, you know. And I used to be in the Trade Center. I thought a small plane buzzed it, you know, but it was obviously bigger than that. Well, anyway, we jump ahead. There was my high school was Christ the King High School in Middle Village.
Yep, I know it.
Right?
Down the hill.
By, in the middle of the cemetery. That's right. Yep. That's right. We're surrounded by dead people.
Yep.
And a very peaceful place. and they called me up, and they knew I was a composer, and I had a bit of a name in Catholic music, and I was a graduate of the school. And there were, I believe it was six or seven, I think it was six people from the school who died. And they said, and I knew three of them well, and they said, would you compose a song? We're going to have a special, you know, be a couple of, like 1,000 people coming in. It'll be a big crowd. But it'll be in about, it was a couple of weeks away. And this, so I said, sure, it would be an honor to write a song. That was the dumbest thing I ever agreed to do. That was one of the dumbest things I ever agreed to do. Because as I started to pray about it, I had to stop praying about it. I started thinking about it, and it was like, everybody at this point, it was weeks or months, like a couple of months after the event, they had all gone through every emotion. There were women, there were men, there were cops, there were firefighters, there were office workers, there were custodians, there were cooks. I knew somebody whose son was on one of the planes, and he had to watch that plane that day go into those buildings weeks after, showing that plane going into the building, and this guy had to see his son die over and over and over. So these people had been through every emotion at this point, and it became, what am I going to say to these people? This is just horrific. Yeah. And I had nothing. They called up. They said, we need the title of the song for the program. You know, like a week before, I said, why don't you just call it a tribute? And since it's going to be a surprise. Woo-hoo! Well, you know, I didn't know what to do. And the night before, I went to bed. And I told my wife, it's over. I'm in trouble here. I might just play some piano and like make up an instrumental. So I go to bed that night, and something happened that never happened to me before. I had the honor of knowing this guy, Rich Mullins, who wrote Our God is an Awesome God. And I met him actually at John Michael Talbot's Hermitage. He followed us up one day. We didn't know he even followed us on a 10-hour drive going there from a Gospel Music Association week up to this Catholic Music Association's gathering at John's place. And so I had the honor of knowing him a bit and talking with him. And he came to me in my dream. He died. He died, as a matter of fact, the same week my mother died. I came back from my mother's wake, and I got a call from people from Kathy Tricoli's camp who said, we got bad news. Rich just was killed in a car crash. So the same week, it was September of 97. And so he comes to me in my dream, and he says, Mike, what are you worried about? I got your song right here. And I'm telling you, I woke up, I grabbed a pad and a pen, and I wrote down every lyric. And I would not have written these lyrics. And explain, if you listen to it, you'll hear it. But like, there were lines in this song. It was coming from God speaking. It wasn't like a song about this. And like the chorus said, well, there's a line in there from, I think it's Psalm 2, that says, why do the nations rage? You know? Mm-hmm. And it says, the chorus says, you know, it was for this moment they were born. Mm-hmm. But it was also for this moment that I sent my only son. You may think that they've fallen, but their freedom has been won. Mm. They're with me now, and I'm with you now, this moment. Hmm. So I couldn't have written that. Wow. I'm not that good. I don't know. Even though I got the copyright on and the credits, it was really Rich who kind of came to me, and I just kind of knocked it into something else. We could listen to it now if you want.
Yeah, Trev. Yeah, absolutely. Can you put that on now?
There are times and there are seasons for every moment of your days. Time to learn and grow. Time to laugh and play. But there are also times of sadness which you cannot comprehend. Know that I am God and I understand. I've told you, blessed are those who mourn. Your comfort can be found. It was for this moment they were born. It was for this moment that I sent my only son. You may think they have fallen, but their freedom has been won. They are with me now.
Peaceful, very relaxing.
Yeah,
it really is.
You know, I had a fire captain in my private practice, and he sent 64 men into the building, and they were all killed.
Yeah,
and he still to this day is having trouble recovering from that, and how that struck him the most. That song is not only for that fire captain, but it's for anyone who suffered loss of a loved one. that that is their moment.
Thanks.
When God meets them and brings them home.
You just, and you don't know when that day is going to come.
No.
I know somebody who was off that day.
Yeah.
She went into her, get something off her desk and never left.
I always imagine many of those people just normally going to work, kissing their wives goodbye, goodbye, sweetheart, I'll see you later.
Right.
I said, not knowing what was before them.
No, they didn't know. Even, I mean, the firefighters, we call them heroes. They were doing their job.
Yeah.
They didn't take themselves as the police officers or any of the people that were in there that saved somebody or tried to get them out. And we don't know half the stories that failed, but they stayed strong while they were there trying to help other people stay strong.
And I have people who would say to me, where was God? Where was God then, you know? And I had a woman who was an artist.
Mm.
And from 9/11, she was given a picture. And just talking about how God talks to us in so many ways. And in the picture, she had Mary lifting souls and handing them to Jesus.
Yeah, it's
that he was there.
Yeah, I
could picture
that.
We don't know. You know, look, it says actually, I forgot what psalm it is, but you know, it says that even the place of our, you know, everything's prepared. You know, we don't know this, but it's kind of been set. We have free will, and we have a lot of room. But, you know, we all come with an expiration date.
And, I have somebody I know who wished he did die that day. And I'll tell you why.
Mm.
His wife was watching what was going on. And she saw the buildings fall. And she called him at
work. And he wasn't there.
And said, you know, honey, are you all right? Oh, yeah, fine. I'm at my desk. She said, how can that be?
Uh-oh, he was in trouble.
He was in the neighborhood motel with the secretary.
Oh. Oh.
You know, there's a guy who wished he died.
Yeah. You know, yeah, that's woohoo. You know, like I hope he got the wake up call. You know, I knew
but
people.
That song will touch people.
Yeah,
it's generic.
You talk about the people after it happened, and you know, I faced a lot of these people, and you know, it was the ones who couldn't wake up in the morning after this happened and wash their face, and even though it was hard, you got up and you did your job. You woke up, you went to work. Even the people that couldn't get over it, they're the ones who really needed help, and you know, it impacted so many people in so many ways, and you know, something it's tragic. Life has gotten very weird, and I think we need music and certain things to try to, in some ways, we need anything we can get, and God gave us all different gifts. And we're now, we're back in the, you know, I hear about my stories from my grandparents when they were alive, and my father was a Marine, you know, in Guam.
Really?
Nobody saw what was going on over there. Nowadays, thanks to technology and the internet and so on, we watch things happen. You know, they use words like it's going to be, you know, awe and, you know, whatever, when we were going to bomb somebody. And wouldn't it be great if we took that technology and fed people instead of bombed them? You know what I mean?
Tell me about this other song, Welcome Sweet Morn.
Oh, that's a that would, you
Trevor,
know, if we want to make a happier song here, that song is I actually wrote that as an Easter song.
Welcome Sweet Morn.
Yeah, play it. You want to play it? Play it.
Sure. And then tell us about it.
Sure.
That it?
Come, sweet morn, shine forth your light. Dispel the darkness and scatter the night. Yesterday's shadows must flee in your sight. Welcome, welcome. Welcome, welcome, sweet morn. Sweet morn, call now to save God's only son from the hold of the grave. Death has no power on its captive this day. Welcome, welcome. Welcome, welcome, sweet morn. Same light that saw Christ's victory. Shine on your people again. their Savior's rebirth. This is the day Christ has conquered death's curse. Welcome, welcome. Welcome, welcome, sweet Lord.
Like the arrangements?
Yeah.
That's my brother. I have a twin brother, like you.
Yeah. Is your brother better looking than you? Like my brother's better looking than
me? No, I'm better looking than him.
My brother pays me every time I say that.
Do you know what I told Tony's brother? Because they're identical twins.
Yeah, I'm identical too.
I told him, you know, Frank, you got the better part of the egg.
Well, we're going to do a heaven and hell tour. I'm the good twin, and my brother's the evil twin, Ron. Yeah.
But you know people. Go ahead.
I get $5 every time I say he's smarter than me.
Oh, well, there you go.
On the radio, he throws me $5.
I get worse than that. Yeah.
But you know, people don't realize that music is growing out of your heart and your life experience.
You know, I wrote that song. You know, people might think, you know, a Wiccan or somebody who worships creation. Yeah. You know. And I laugh when they say they're Wiccans because, you know what, that's a beautiful thing because you're worshiping God. You just don't know it yet. That's all. He created everything. You know, that song I wrote on Easter morning.
Really?
What happened was, and it came in 10 seconds, and now I'm busy on Easter morning. You know, I'm the resurrection day. I'm usually the first one up. I run to the cemetery and yell, everybody. No, I don't. Okay. But seriously, there's the 10-second button. You should have hit it. Okay. I came close there. I mean, I got to play Resurrection Mass and all these other things, you know. But and I'm up from the night before from the vigil.
Vigil Mass, absolutely.
Like I said, the Triduum is rough, man. Holy Week is Hell Week for me.
Yeah.
And but I wrote that song in 10 seconds. It just came to me, and what it was, I was welcoming not every morning. It was I was writing a hymn. See, I like hymns.
I could see that.
Okay, yeah. And I wanted this to be more of a congregational singing hymn for Easter morning. What's special? Well, God chose that morning to raise His Son from the dead. Okay, and that when I say "Welcome, sweet morn," as a matter of fact, I actually wrote it as "Welcome, great morn," and my wife said, "Nah, that's too hard. Welcome, sweet morn is better." I said, "Oh man, you're right. I had to put her name on it. You know, I had to give her some credit for that."
Yeah.
But you know, she wrote a line in it. She changed all the vibe by saying that. You know, I welcome. It would have been a bigger, powerful song. It's a mellow song now. You know,
but sweet.
It's "Welcome, sweet morn. Call now to save God's only Son from the hold of the grave. Death has no power on its captive this day." You know, that those. You know, I like when words come like that because they flow. You notice how some of these songs, it just happens. Like, I can't, if I sit down, like, I got a buddy, this guy, Roger Allen Wade. No jokes. He's one of the greatest songwriters I've ever met. He's an American treasure, okay? And he works hard at his craft. This guy probably writes, like Paul McCartney probably writes 3 hits before breakfast. You know what I mean? And I can't do it that way. If I try to sit down and write a song, I really can't. It has to just kind of come to me. And when it comes like that, they're better, you know. Because if you really got to work at it, it's not natural, it's not. But it's different for everybody, you know. But you could tweak it, like you were talking about the production. We want it to be earthy, organic. We wanted that song to have that feel, you know.
It was.
You know, we wanted it to be mellow, but powerful. You know, and that every instrument, everything you hear on there is just me and my brother doing everything.
Wow.
You know, he's got a killer studio, world-class studio in Connecticut.
Really?
Yeah. And so I'm blessed to have that. You know, I don't have to pay studio time.
Michael, we have a saint on our show each week, but people may not realize that Tony really prays and is given a name of a saint.
Who? I actually do.
And I never know. He never lets me know in advance.
I don't tell him because he lets the cat out of the bag.
Okay.
But I can see Michael the Archangel. Yeah. No, I...
Now, last week, I was supposed to do Michael.
Okay.
And at the last minute, I was actually changed, so I had to do St. Vincent de Paul.
Okay.
But now I know why. All the pieces are falling together. Why was Michael the Archangel safer today? Well...
Right.
Look who's on the show.
Michael.
Michael. And look who he represents. Michael.
Michael.
And look who what my son's name is. Michael. And look who John's son's name is.
And who's my grandson is also Michael.
Michael.
It's a Michael Rich environment.
So listen, I'm dedicating this saint, this liturgy of the saint, talking about him.
That's
to
beautiful.
You, Michael, to Michael Talbot, to my son Michael, to John's son Michael, and to John's grandson Michael, who I love. He's
and all the
kid.
Michaels out there listening.
And all the Michaels out there.
Well, both of you.
This is for you, baby.
And everyone else can go home.
That's right.
Now, everyone else will have their turn, I'm sure.
Let's send anybody home.
Well, Michael's feast day was September 29th. Right. That's why I was going to do it last week.
Right.
And so it happened that it was changed. Mm-hmm. So God made heaven, God and earth, and all the angels. He made all the angels and all the extra important angels that were called archangels. The archangels were God's very special friends and were shining and strong, powerful. One angel was called Michael. Michael the Archangel.
Defend us in battle.
He was the angel of the Lord who was sent to Moses and Jacob and Abraham and to other people throughout the history of the world. Saint Michael the Archangel, who ranks among the seven, do you know there are seven archangels? Is also one of the three angels mentioned by name in scriptures. The others being, of course, Saint Raphael.
Healing.
Healing. And St. Gabriel,
messenger.
Good news.
Messenger, right. St. Gabriel, the messenger to the Blessed Virgin Mary in the mystery of the Incarnation. Michael is the defender of Jesus Christ in his sacred humanity. St. Michael, the archangel, he's spoken of twice in the Old Testaments and twice in the New Testaments. The first fact that we learn about concerning this great prince of heaven, is that the mighty combat which took place in heaven when the bad angel fell away from the allegiance of God, Saint Michael sounded his war cry, Quesedas, if I'm saying it correctly, and that who is like God? Joined by other good angels, Saint Michael drove Satan and his legions from heaven and plunge them into the depths of hell. Now, let's talk a little bit about Satan, who was one of God's favorites.
I'd love to jump in here.
Yes, please do.
I think it's Ezekiel. So somebody correct me out there.
It is Ezekiel.
You know, it talks about how Satan was created and how he's made.
Yeah.
And he was made up of many things, precious jewels, but parts of his body were, they used timbers, meaning tambourine, like it was a timber, and pipes, meaning could be flutes or the or pipes of an organ.
Yeah.
But part of his makeup, and this, and what's interesting is with music, how Satan was, actually, if you look at it, Satan would have been the music director of heaven.
Yes.
And one of the biggest problems music directors have and rock stars have and any musician has or any pop artist is ego. And he wanted Satan's biggest sin, and he had many, he wanted to ascend above the throne.
Right.
He wanted to be greater than God. He was created one of the, I think he was considered the most beautiful.
He was the most beautiful.
Of all angels.
The most intelligent.
Right.
The most powerful.
He had it all.
And the most loved,
right? He had it all.
Angel of them all,
and he
and
lost
he had
it.
A big following.
He had a big following. He obviously did because God took half of them, a third of the angels, whatever the number was, went with him. And but that's why Satan music.
What was his downfall?
Pride, I think.
Absolutely.
His vanity.
Vanity.
He said to God, personally, "Why should I worship you?
Right.
I'm good looking. I'm strong. I'm popular. Why should there be somebody ahead of me?" And he actually wanted to take over heaven.
Right. That's
and to his...
The rest is history.
Yeah, the rest is history.
But this is his domain. The earth is his domain.
That's
you know,
right.
God gave it to him. And he will use music where God... You know, look, you know, we know what man meant for evil, God meant for good. You know, we have to always remember who's on the throne.
You know, Michael, I got a question. I don't want to deviate, but John,
he's deviant. Go,
John. You're a psychologist,
yeah,
and you practice, and you're religious, and you too, Michael. because of Jesus' divine mercy and because of his love, I often wondered, why wasn't Satan ever forgiven?
Yeah.
He never repented.
Absolutely. He never asked to be forgiven.
And
I think you're absolutely right.
I think you're right.
What a smart guy you are.
Well, you know what else?
Well, I know Satan very well, so he told me.
Well, you know what? There's also, there's something I can't, we don't have a Bible, it's sad. We have them online in here. But there's a scripture line that says, all sins will be forgiven except sins against the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, that's right.
And what's a sin against the Holy Spirit? You know what a sin against the Holy Spirit is? You know you're doing wrong. We have a conscience, and you don't stop. You know God loves you. He's loving you. He's calling you. Every day you're alive that you don't die.
Yes.
It's another day that he's showing you mercy.
Right.
And you have to say yes.
And you have to say yes. It's just that simple. And you know what? If this is everywhere. This is not a, you know, I'm sorry, but you could talk to, I'm not going to say Buddhist, because Buddhist is a different thing, you know. That's just, it's not, I don't consider Buddhism too much of a religion. I consider it more of a lifestyle, you know. And you know, just to say something about that really quick. Jesus said, don't worry about today. We got enough troubles, right? Folks, don't get too scared of other religions, you know. Don't get scared, because God created all these people in this world, you know. We're all special to him. And, you know, we could learn. We could certainly share and learn a few things from each other. I'm not a Buddhist, but God said, Jesus said, don't worry about today. He didn't tell you how not to worry really about today.
Right.
So, you know, you could learn certain things from other people and how to practice. So, well, okay, having said that, Satan and Michael, you know, with Satan, I think you're right. That's a great question. I even remember people saying, why didn't anybody, can we pray for Satan? Can we do this?
Yeah.
I don't think you want to do that.
You can't. No, but I've heard children ask that.
I know.
And you can't.
But I think my Johnny got the answer.
Yeah, he
didn't
want
to. He didn't ask to be forgiven.
The pride, he won't say I'm sorry. And he won't say.
Finish, Michael.
Joined
I know you're...
by the good... Now, wait a minute. This discussion didn't come off my time. I want you to understand. Joined by the good angels, St. Michael drove Satan.
Well, we got to move on now.
And his legions right from heaven and plunged them down into the depths of hell. Next, we hear his praises from no less than an authority than St. Gabriel, the archangel, who, speaking to the prophet Daniel, says, Michael, one of the chief princesses, and Michael, the great prince, who standeth for the children of the people. St. Thomas says of him, Michael is the breath of the Redeemer Spirit, who at the end of the world will combat and destroy Antichrist, as he did Lucifer in the beginning of the world. And when you die, you're supposed to, or you should, ask Michael, St. Michael, to be with you and help you along with Jesus. So St. Michael was the protector and defender of God's chosen people. Now he's the defender of the church and of all the faithful whom he defends against the constant assaults of the devil. And we all know what those assaults could be. He is invoked in sickness, and most especially in the hour of death, when his all-powerful help is so much needed, for then it is Satan makes his worst and most powerful attack on a Christian soul at the moment of death. But Michael is there. In prayers traditionally said by the priest and the people of Mass, there is a special and beautiful prayer to St. Michael, imploring his help for the church. And let me just quickly read it. Prayer to St. Michael. St. Michael, the archangel, defend us in battle. Be our safeguard against the wiles and wickednesses of the devil. Refrain him, O God, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl around the world, seeking the ruin of destructions of souls. Amen. And we should make it a sacred duty to join fervently in that prayer every day.
You want to know what St. Michael's favorite song is?
Palmer?
I bet you couldn't guess. It's from the movie. I think it's The Wizard of Oz. You ready? Hi ho, the witch is dead. The wicked witch is dead.
Security.
We all must die, and we all must be prepared for the fierce attack of the devil at that dreadful time that we're going to die. Hence, every Christian should make sure of having St. Michael's help at the hour of their death. This we can do by being devoted to the great archangel during our lives.
That's wonderful.
And that's the story of Michael. But I can go more. I can say a lot more.
No, no, no. Let's,
but I won't.
No. It's not that I want to cut you off. But
yeah, but you are.
But there are guardian angels, too.
I'm all prepared for that.
And we all have guardian angels.
Yes, no, I'm prepared for guardian.
We'll do it another time with them. Because I want to make sure you...
But I'm prepared for guardian. My guardian angel's name is Raphael. What's yours?
Mine is Theocrates.
Wow.
And what's yours?
I don't know.
Ask.
I will ask. Yeah, you know, that's right. I've heard about that.
You know what I was told once in prayer about Theocrates? He was sitting in the corner with his wings over his head saying, Jesus, this guy will never learn. This guy. Mumbling to himself.
By the way, that Raphael is not the Raphael. It's just another another guardian angel named Raphael.
Tell us a little bit about what you're doing with John Michael Talbot, too.
Yeah, he was just calling me while I was talking to you.
Was he?
Yeah, he was bugging
me. Is he listening?
Let's see if he's texting me, too. Let's see. Somebody texted me. John, no, I don't know.
Tell him, hurry up. Turn on 12:40 a.m. Come on. We want to say hello to him.
He probably wasn't. He's probably just wants an update on. So he's probably saying, what are you doing on the radio, Zabragi? John, what's John Michael Talbot up to? Beautiful new book out right now. I could promote him, right? I mean, this is what I do.
Absolutely do.
Okay, you could watch him. There's a very popular Catholic priest. His name is Father Cedric.
Oh, and he's wonderful.
He's on the church channel in this area.
Yeah, I love him.
And he's a good friend of John and mine, and he's a really good friend of John. And I've got to know him personally. Wonderful guy. And he allowed us, John, to be on his program for the past year. So, John, we edited a DVD called Nothing is Impossible, and we've been showing segments. People around you have been seeing John Michael on TV with his big beard, looking like Dumbledore, Gandalf, or ZZ Talbot. And so we have a new DVD out. We have a new book called The Jesus Prayer. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Okay, it's out by IVP, that's InterVarsity Press, which is really cool because that's an evangelical company that put out this book. And John is on the road. He's doing, like I said, about 150 days a year, 9 months of the year on the road, doing concerts. We're doing TV. In November, he's going to be on Trinity Broadcasting Network. I think it's November 5th. Watch for it, though. Praise the Lord. The evangelical, the 5 million people watch it every time it's on.
Wow.
And so we got him on that show, which is really a beautiful thing. Like I said, he's always been a bridge between the Catholics and the evangelicals. And he's on tour. He's finishing up with the community this week, and Tuesday hits the road again up until Advent. Then he'll get off the road for a bit and hit it again in January.
Wow.
So it's
busy guy.
It's nonstop. And he's got another new book coming out really soon. And we're going into the studio in about 2 more weeks to record a new 10-week DVD. We're going to do a 10-week TV series again and a new DVD. It's out of control.
Yeah, I'll
that's
say.
Wonderful.
And you're as busy as he is.
And I'm real busy, man.
You know what I'd like to do? Because we pray for healing so much on the show. And I'm going to ask Trevor, would you put on for this moment the
same song again?
Yeah, because it's a beautiful song. And this time, when we listen to it and we pray about it, we think of those people who have cancer, or those who have been killed in automobile accidents, and those who are alcoholics, or those who overdose, for their family members, and those who were left behind.
That's beautiful.
So that they can... You wrote a note. Remember when my son died, you wrote that beautiful poem, and how beautiful.
Yes.
I have that framed. It's so beautiful.
I saw it. I was very honored when I saw that frame.
But let's play that song, and we can all pray together.
Oh, absolutely.
To help people get over the pain that they suffer in life when they lose someone. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And in your heart, open your heart to Jesus. For this is their moment.
This is not the song.
Oh, it's not the song, Trev. We got to go to the other one, the one we played first. Number two.
The second song, it's the 10th song on the album, though. 10th track, number 10. I'm sorry. That's our engineer, folks.
That's all right.
He's doing a great job.
Trevor is wonderful. We throw this at him and he does it.
Trevor's been with us from day one.
Poor guy.
And he's a loyal fan. He loves our show. You don't believe it? Ask him.
Well, he's dying to say,
He's dying to say.
Lord, we're praying. We put ourselves in your presence, Lord. We're praying for all of those who are suffering. And we're praying for all of those who have had pain in their lives. And we ask you, Lord, touch them. Touch them with this music. And touch them with whatever words you wish to share. Praise you, Lord, and we thank you. And I hear the words, I know your pain. I know you're here with me, asking for help, asking for relief from your illness, from the death of a loved one, from a broken relationship. And while you will not die, we tell you, these are our moments in you. When I, Jesus the Messiah, rise up in you and let you know I'm here. Listen to these words. Trev, can you make it louder?
Know that I am God and I understand. I've told you, blessed are those who mourn. Comfort can be found, knowing that they are home. It was for this moment.
So my friends, step forward. Step forward. Give me your pain. Allow me to work my grace-filled love into your despair and into your depression and into your anxiety. This is your moment when I come alive in you right now. Over these airwaves, I rise up in you and I delight in touching you. Come, little one, step forward. Step forward, let me touch you right now. Let me handle your illness.
Why do the nations rage? Do you believe that hatred can stop my people's praise? Sure as fall turned to winter, and winter turned to spring. With each passing season, feel my love again.
Feel my love. I'm here.
Children, in the flowers, in the gentle blowing wind. I do you, blessed are those who mourn. Your comfort can be found, knowing that they are.
When you surrender to me as you have just done, this is your moment. This is our moment in you. And we bless you with our love. We bless you with our love. Sorry I hogged it, but that's what I was led to do. And Michael, I want you to see the universality of that song.
Yeah.
And so many times people are hurt and carrying burdens, and they don't know where to turn. And I pray and I pray and I pray and nothing happens. But they hear that song, and the spirit cuts through.
Yeah. When I did it the first time, I got hundreds, maybe thousands of requests to do things. I had some people say they wanted to record it and raise money for different things. Mm-hmm. And I turned them all down because I didn't want to. That kind of gets in the way.
Yeah.
You know, and I actually even made it the last track on the album. And I didn't make a mention of it. Even if you look at the album, I didn't make a mention why I wrote it. I dedicated it to three people, all who we lost at the Trade Center.
Okay.
But I didn't. The families knew, but no one else knew. You know, I didn't make anything up.
Well, it has a message.
It does. Yes,
it has and a strong message, and I think it's
God's love.
Like most great music, great a good song, a good message is there, and you don't want it. You know, I kind of broke a rule by explaining the song today, because you want people to get out of something like American Pie by Buddy Holly, which is vague. You know, you want the best songs are vague, but. This one does have a distinct message. I agree with you.
You wanted people to get out of it.
What they needed, what God needed for them to get out of it.
Slight reading the Bible.
No one's ever played both of the same song twice in one show. That's pretty cool.
Well, we're unusual. I'd like to finish with your last song, though, Take Him to Heart.
Oh, boy, yeah.
And that, want to play that?
You know what? If we're going to take it out, I put it on at the end. That's more, you know, it's funny. You asked me to pick a few songs, and I haven't heard that song we played right now in a few years. I just don't listen. You don't listen to your own music.
Right,
you know, this song, man, I haven't listened to it in over 10 years. This is like when my hair's kind of long right now, but I mean, my hair was long. And about as long as John Michael Talbot's beard.
But we're going to run out of time. Let's see if we can get it in.
Rock it. Go. Do it.
Can you get it? It's the number three.
The third song that we requested, the last one. It's on the other album, on Seasons Past.
Sorry, Trev.
We're making the engineer work, folks. He's the hardest working man in show business.
He does a good job. He's on top.
He's right there. Hardest working man in show business.
It's track 7, I think.
Track 7.
Okay.
Crank it up.
Michael, thank you for being
here. I'll be back.
You see how unusual we are?
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You really did us honor.
Oh, no, I was honored. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
How are you? Good morning. The Spanish group just came.
Yeah.
We threw the Greeks out. Now
the
Spanish are here.
Stay tuned.
We
got to
get you on our show down the line.
Okay. And by the way, just so you know, if anyone wants to see me, I'll be at the Westbury Street Fair today. Come and say hello. If you're a listener, you get a hug.
Cut them off.
Done.
Go ahead, Trev.
Well, you get your commercials in. I got to get mine.
That's right. I pushed out. Make
necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners at WGBB. I'm